ultimately the goal behind having these two designations is to really highlight the commitment that those builders have made. Like Karen said, our standards for membership, they are higher than what you would need to just go buy land and, you know, kind of get that ball rolling.
Welcome back to the Spruce Home Show, your local podcast that talks all things custom home building. Things to be aware of, things to expect, and things to take note of. Thanks for tuning in. Let's go. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to what is now episode number 42 of the Spruce Home Show. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for tuning in as always. I know that we have a base of loyal listeners because the first two or three days after a podcast is launched, there's almost the same amount of viewership week in and week out, and then there is a plethora that trickle in after that over the coming weeks. But I know that there's a base of you guys who are listening every week, so I do appreciate that. And I hope that this is helping you or family or friends in some form or fashion. So I hope everybody had a good family day, a good long weekend here in February. We had a pretty good weekend. We did a little staycation with friends. We had done it a couple years ago on what I'm going to call the tail end of COVID, where we went with two other couples and their kids and went and did water sliding and all that kind of good stuff. We did that for Valentine's Day a couple years ago, and so we missed Valentine's this year, but we decided to do that again, and it's a ton of fun. Our kids are all the same age range, so they had a blast. We got to catch up on some work in the mornings. We did hang out with family a little bit, got some R&R. We had some good weather. So anyway, I hope you guys had a good weekend to either get outside or spend time with family. Or I know this week kids are off school, so I'm sure there's some ski trips planned, and I'm sure the hills are absolutely littered with children at the moment. So if that's you guys, then I hope you're having fun. Or I guess you could be going southbound also. Speaking of southbound, here, this is a tidbit for some of you guys who may not have heard yet. WestJet just announced that they are going to have direct flights from Saskatoon to Minneapolis, which is monstrous. It's huge. This is really off topic. But for us, we travel south quite a bit with visiting family. And I've told people that the price of flights and the flight times have basically doubled in the last couple of years. So you're just taking it off the chin in two different directions. And so hopefully this WestJet flight will help that, at the very least, cut the flight times back. Because for us, 15-hour flight days are not very fun. I would rather go back to the 8-hour flight days. So for all of us in Saskatoon, I think that should be pretty exciting. If we're whoever's traveling south, going anywhere, it will be way nicer to be able to hop on a plane and just get to Minneapolis instead of having to go east or west before heading south. So anyway, if you hadn't heard of that, you're welcome. So with that chitter chatter and pitter patter, I'm going to kind of get on with this. So we're having special guests on again today, and this time we're having two people, Karen and Steven, their names are, from the Saskatoon and Region Home Builders Association. I've wanted to have them on for a while, and so they're an organization. Well, wow. First of all, they're not a couple. They are a pair. They do work together, but they are not a couple. But I did have the Home Builders Association on my kind of docket of people to talk to and introduce you guys to for a while, and I thought now was a great time. So I'm going to welcome Karen and Steven. I'm going to allow them to introduce themselves, and then we'll talk a little bit about why the Saskatoon Home Builders Association matters to you guys as clients. So Karen and Steven, welcome.
Hey, welcome. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you. I will I'll spill the beans, and I'm going to thank you again. I already thanked you once before we started this, but I'm thanking you again, and I will just let everybody know that this is a second time that they're doing this for me, because the first time I didn't have enough space on my computer for the recording and it just vaporized. So I appreciate it big time, guys.
No problem.
Yeah, no problem at all.
So maybe do you want to start off just by introducing yourselves so that everybody has an idea of I guess maybe where you guys came from or what role you guys play at the association?
Yeah, you bet. So my name is Stephen Simon, and I joined the association about just under a year ago, so last summer. And I made a really interesting change of industries, and I came from the fitness industry. I was in that industry for just over 12 years, and the reason for the switch, I would say, is because I was fortunate enough last summer to be in the position of all these home buyers, and I was able to purchase my first standalone house last summer, and I just really realized how much needs to go into that decision and how many things you need to consider when you're looking at purchasing a house. And so that was kind of just the natural changeover for me, even though it was a big change for myself. I'm glad I did it. So yeah, that's what brought me here to the association.
Cool.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Karen, and I am like an old timer for real. So I worked at the association a number of years ago in the early 2010s, and just came back to the association last summer as well. So it's, you know, it's been, it's something for me that my heart is here and my passion is here, and definitely serving the members and also, you know, educating consumers. So I grew up in the construction world. My dad was the master carpenter and a home builder back in the day, and like built my first set of stairs when I was 7. Pretty proud of that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, you know, I know all the 412 and all the, you know, all the right numbers and stuff. I'm probably not convincing anyone of that right now though. Yeah. But anyway, and I worked in emergency housing for a long time and shelters. And then I transitioned into senior housing and it was more than just the housing, right? It was like, what do people need in these groups? And so from seniors housing, I came to the Home Builders Association back in the day. And what do people need? And how are we contributing to this economy, to the city, to the growth here, and giving people safe, secure housing? And that's basically where I came back to it.
So here's a question. Did you come back to it, or did you seek it, or were they like, hey, Karen, we need you, come back?
Yeah, a little, I was not seeking it. It was a really good point in time when the phone rang and they said, hey, what are you doing? You want to come back here? And it was just a great time for me. It was a good opportunity. And I was instantly like, it didn't even take me 5 seconds to say yes, I don't think.
Well, that's good. I mean, everything happens.
We're all happy for it.
Yeah. So were you there before Karen, Stephen, or was it vice versa?
We were kind of around the same time, but I think you were actually still there before me.
A little bit. I came back to help out with the home show last year. So I was just on a contract and then got hired on full time just about the same time. So yeah. So helping everybody out and getting back into the swing of what we love to do and what we, and like Stephen said, learning from what our personal experiences and then sharing that with others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, how's that for a segue? What about, so the Saskatoon and Region Home Builders Association in general, like what the heck do you guys actually do?
Well, we do represent our members with a lot of advocacy issues. And when I say that, I mean, like, you know, we go to bat for them on building issues with the city or with the province as needed. We are part of a federation that is also aligned with a national organization, and our national organization works very closely on, you know, with our federal counterparts on interest rates, housing starts, data, stuff like that. So that sort of trickles down to provincial and municipal levels. So basically, we represent the industry with a goal at all times to really drive housing affordability. What does that mean? What does that look like? How can builders and developers build a better product for people with less red tape, with few taxes and other issues? We're always got our finger on the pulse of supply chain. We all know that lumber prices like went crazy through the roof during COVID. So, you know, just kind of mitigating some of those things that people might not know about contribute to home prices and affordability for the industry.
Yeah, I think that like you hit the nail on the head right there. I think I speak for the very large majority of builders when I say that as builders, we want to build the best house that we possibly can. Like we want to put the cool stuff in it. We want to make it out. We want to build passive houses all the time. We want to build high-end houses all the time. But there's like a push and pull between that and affordability. But there is more that goes into affordability than just the stuff that you put in the house or the stuff that you put behind the walls. There is that red tape stuff that a lot of people don't know who is behind. And in all fairness, I wouldn't know who is behind until a few years ago either. So it's a big deal. And maybe you guys deal a lot with municipalities and advocate for us and for home buyers locally. What types of things are you working on the city either now or you have recently that are beneficial to people who are either building or renovating that like they probably don't even know about or they might not know about?
Yeah, so I think you have to, I think it's really important for consumers in, especially in Saskatoon, to understand how our landscape works here for land development. So our municipality is actually the largest land developer. The city of Saskatoon is actually the largest land developer. The city of Saskatoon has been operating as a land developer since around the 1920s. And it's quite an anomaly. It's quite a unique situation we have here almost in the entire world, how it works here. And so what that opens it up to is, you know, it's really profit driven for the city to do that. And it is also very, they lead the market. So there are other land developers in the city of Saskatoon, but that's really where it all starts. So when you take a piece of raw land and you put a neighborhood there, right? And everyone from Saskatoon is there. You know, we've been seeing new neighborhood growth for a long time now from Hampton, Evergreen, Willow Grove, et cetera, right? And so number one, what the association does is collectively, we try to go to the city to help sort of reduce those developer fees and levies and question those so that when the municipality places those charges on developers, that's what really accounts for the cost of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So the developer can't go in it without being profitable, right?
Yeah.
And the builder has to buy the lot at a certain price point because that's really where it all starts is those developer fees. So we really, really, really work closely with not just the city of Saskatoon, but also with Warman, Martinsville, Corman Park, other municipalities in the surrounding area to try to just have balance between what everyone needs to get the services they need paid for, to get, you know, it costs money to bring water and power and electrical and put roads in and lights and all that kind of stuff. And so, but that what we try to do is mitigate the trickle down effect to the homeowner. And we do that through liaison with developers and the municipalities, through liaison with the developers and the builders, and then obviously educating consumers in podcasts as this.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, land specifically is it's a very interesting topic. And to be frank, I don't know enough about it to speak well on it, but I can tell you that having a spouse that is from the US and looking at cost of land there versus here, and it is done very differently. I mean, and down there, almost exclusively, there's the builders are also the developers. So they will build out different sizes of development. So a builder will it could be a 20 home development, it could be a 400 home development, but every home in that development gets built by the one builder. But it is, I will never forget this my entire life. We went and looked at a show home right by my in-laws, and we were just teetering around, and there was like an internal salesperson that was in the show home. And so we got talking to them and told them that we build up in Canada and the yada, yada, yada. And she was asking about pricing. And or I asked her about pricing, and I asked her what the cost of land was on that particular lot, which was a attached triple car garage and a two-story. And she said that it was about $15,000. And I was like, okay, wow. So that's pretty different. She's like, well, what would it be where you were? I was like, oh, probably like 180,000. And she goes, she looks at me and she's like, oh no, honey, that's without the house on it. She thought that I was referring that 180 was included in the house. And I was like, no, like that's without the house on it. And her jaw dropped. And I know that there's a lot of different factors. There's taxation that goes into that. There's currency, there's yada, 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 yada. But the fact that we as builders and we as consumers have somebody like you guys advocating towards the city to try and keep it within reason is very important, because our land is just expensive. If you're paying $150,000 to $200,000 for a piece of land before you even start building, it adds on the cost of a house dramatically before you even get started. So
yeah, it certainly does. You know, there was a study done by our National Association a few years back that showed for every $10,000 of cost added onto either land or home, how many people would be priced out of the market to be able to afford that home. And it was shocking. Like, it was like literally like hundreds of people would instantly cut off, like with the stress test and the mortgage rules, and especially now with interest rates climbing, it was quite shocking. And so you're right, we do have a delicate balance between, you know, the city of Saskatoon has some aggressive, and the province has some aggressive immigration targets. Yeah. And where are those people going to live? Mm-hmm. And so also the association, you know, we're not, I don't know what it's like in the States in that scenario you just described, but you know, we work together as a collective, and we're better together than we are apart. Yeah. In terms of, you have one builder or one developer consistently going to the municipality and, you know, beating their chest and pounding on them, yelling and this, I want this, this, you know, that just doesn't work. Yeah. And so, you know, and I think Stephen can speak to this too, like just how, when we get in a room with our builders in the room or with our developers in the room, it's really an open book. And it's like, how can we work together to make this better? Yeah. Like, you've seen that too, hey, Stephen?
In a bunch of our builder meetings that we have, where we get all the small group of our builders together to, you know, discuss any pain points, just discuss any tips and challenges that they're facing. It's really cool to just see, like, in real time, like other builders just offering up things, whether it's they're offering up site to another builder to start something or whatever that looks like. It's just really, it's really cool to see that team effort behind the scenes here.
Yeah, that's good. No, it's good to hear. Okay, so then I would say that, so one of the things that I wanted to talk about specifically, and we touched on this last time, was from a municipal standpoint, from the city of Saskatoon specifically, is that one of the things that you guys work with them on is things like permit turnaround, permit times and such. So one of the things for everybody listening to know is that the city of Saskatoon has one of the best permit turnaround times in the country. It's actually insane when you think about it. When I don't get a permit turned around in like 5 to 9 days, I'm like wondering where the heck it is. Whereas you look at other places, I talked to a couple from who's moving here from BC, and their permit times there, they're in the metro, in like the Vancouver metro area. And they said it could be 1 to 2 years before you get approval. Mm-hmm. And so you think about that from you buy a piece of land and now you can't build on it for a couple years. Number one, is material pricing changing? Number two, you're paying interest on that land in some form or fashion. Even if you pay cash, you still are, because you're not using that cash in the markets, yada, yada, yada. So you are paying for that one way or the other, either through sunk opportunity costs or through through interest. So you're adding more time, you're adding more risk, you're adding who knows what, like what financing could happen if the federal government decides to change financing rules all of a sudden, and now you actually can't build what you thought on that land. I think there's not enough credit for, I will say this, there's not enough credit for the city of Saskatoon for that, for those permit turnaround times, because it can be very important in certain scenarios. I even think
and they would very much appreciate to hear that from you, because they are definitely You know, and even though they have that exceptional track record, their metrics speak to that. Like, they can literally show you exactly they are on target for their permit on time. You know, there's some challenges though. We get a little bit spoiled, right? I think people get a little bit complacent, a little bit spoiled, and they go, oh, I didn't get my permit for 15 days. Oh yeah, but you changed like this wall, or you changed, you know, this entrance kind of thing. So it had to be reviewed. And so we always kind of, it is a little bit of a joke, but not, I mean, it's certainly serious if you're making promises to your home that, yeah, we're going to have this started here, this, and this, and then the permit's taking, heaven forbid, 14 days instead of nine, you know. So I think we got a little bit spoiled in that. But also, to your point, you know, we have, how often do they come here, building standards? Probably once every 2 months.
Yeah, every 2 months at least.
At least, yeah. So building standards is in our builder meetings. Minimum of 2 months, and they are open to that feedback and explaining what they do and why they do it and what, you know, and the builders, like I said, they have to take a little responsibility. Just because you promised your client you're going to start this house in, you know, 4 weeks, and it's not going to maybe take, it's going to maybe take six. Well, you need to own that. So, well, you know, I think
that's, yeah, go ahead. I talk about that. Like, that's my biggest thing, is like setting expectations. Part of creating the best customer experience you can is setting proper expectations. So like for us specifically, I can tell you that we allow a month for permitting time. Will we get it in 5 days? Maybe. Will we get it in 9 days? Maybe. Will it be less than a month? Probably. But maybe not.
Under promise and over deliver. And I'll tell you something else, Brad. So because of the way that land sales operate in Saskatoon, Saskatoon land has to sell to everybody. Okay. Mm-hmm. So not all of those builders on their list, and I'm air quoting builders, are members of our association. And there's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. And it's because they don't either want to participate, they don't meet the criteria to get in, because it's pretty, we have a higher standard for membership than they do to actually become a builder and buy a piece of land and build a house. Okay. So consumers need to know that this symbol, this maple leaf with the H in it, the Builders Association, has standards for membership. It's crazy, like, and not unachievable, unattainable, but like builders or members in our association are definitely a step above just anyone else out there that's not. And I will talk like that while I'm blue in the face, right? But number two, so needless to say, our office gets probably 3 to 5 phone calls a week from homeowners complaining.
Yeah.
Things weren't happening on properly. They told us this, they took our money, they didn't do this. And honestly, we're not a regulatory body. We have no way to affect any change to that, especially when it's a non-member. If it's a member, we certainly address it as per our guidelines and bylaws and go from there. But I will tell you this, 99.9% of those complaints, once you get right down to it, you take out the emotion, you kind of get to the facts, are due to lack of communication.
Yep.
Absolutely. And it gets to a point where the consumer is, you know, they are at 5,000 RPM and the builder's at 5,000 RPM and they're both going, I can't talk to them. And they just stop talking. And well, then nothing happens. There's no resolve. So there you go. So number one, communication. So
I've actually said this to multiple of our trades that we work with when there's a lack of communication, a misunderstanding of some sort, whether we thought something was included in their pricing and they didn't, or they showed up on site and something wasn't ready, whatever the scenario is. I've said this multiple times. The construction industry, as a stereotype, is full of a bunch of dudes, and dudes suck at communicating. and so we just have to all know that and assume that, assume ignorance on everyone. Assume that assume that we haven't said it before, or assume that we haven't told them or they haven't told us. And if everybody assumes that, then we over communicate instead of under communicate. And then that kind of just solves the problem. So if we all just assume our weakness, which as a stereotype is true, it seems to work actually. So
yeah. But yeah, so that's really, I think, what it boils down to. I mean, even like, you know, with our members questioning, why did you do that? Well, we tell them, like, I don't know, you guys have what, Stephen, renovator meeting, you say it.
We have renovator meetings, builder meetings. We have the odd developer meeting if we need, like, if there's something that happens in the city that we need to get together and talk about it too. So like, we are just really all about trying to connect those gaps or fill in those gaps so sure that people are communicating. Like Karen said, we do get several calls a week regarding complaints, maybe about non-members or potentially a member. And sometimes it's just as easy as, hey, did you talk to them yet about it? And then you get, no, I didn't yet. Well, no wonder. There's a lack of communication there. Or we might help out too. And you'll maybe we'll just call so-and-so at Bob the Builder and say, hey, we just got a call from such and such. Hey, do you mind just giving a call and talk to them? I think you should really do that. So we really like to help facilitate that communication if we need to. But we do really emphasize how important the communication is.
Yeah. And we've dealt with that in the past where, I mean, we do quite a few infill work. So we've had times in the past where we have had a neighbor upset about one thing or the other. And it was like, it wasn't something, it finally came to light weeks after whatever happened, but we didn't know. And then all it took was a conversation. It's like, oh, this is what happened, or this is what you're upset about, or whatever. It could be as easy as like, hey, we're going to start work at 8:30 instead of 8 because you have little kids that are sleeping. Like, it can be as easy as that sometimes. Oftentimes it's just being a human, to be honest. And that's whether you're dealing with trades, neighbors, clients, whatever. City officials, it kind of doesn't matter. So maybe let's go into that a little bit, maybe, Stephen, about the certified programs, the home builder and the RenoMark programs, and the reasons why homeowners should actually pay attention to those people in those memberships.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do have two, you know, certified designations here at the association. So we have our certified professional home builder designation, as well as our certified professional renovator. That one's a bit of a mouthful. ultimately, the goal behind having these two designations is to really highlight the commitment that those builders have made. Like Karen said, our standards for membership, they are higher than what you would need to just go buy land and, you know, kind of get that ball rolling away. We do like to joke and say it is the Wild West out here. We do have a lot, like Karen said, what do we have, around 300 builders in the city? Something like that. So when you see that low, it's a lot. It's a lot. So that can, again, that's really overwhelming as a consumer home buyer to know, oh my God, there's 300 builders. I need to narrow down to one. How am I going to do that? Well, how you're going to do that is you're going to look for that logo, or go to our website and go to our directory of professionals. But again, just going back, basically those designations show that commitment that our builders and our renovators are committing to that higher standard of quality, that higher standard of customer service, communication, quality and sustainability. So we do have, so anybody that has that designation, you know, as a consumer, that they've spent X amount of hours, whether it's 30 plus hours on required education modules that they have to take to become a member. They're also going to be, rest assured, they're going to know that their builder has third party warranty. Maybe they don't even know what third party warranty is yet. So that's even just more education that they're going to get from their builder. And then when it comes down to certified RenoMark renovator, RenoMark is essentially kind of like its own branding. So kind of going back to that Wild West, we have 300 builders. I'm sure we have many more triple it, whatever that is for contractors. So so having that badge, that RenoMark badge, RenoMark is it's almost like its own branding itself as well. But they have their own code of ethics. We have our own code of ethics, and it is just much higher than the bare minimum. So if somebody sees a RenoMark renovator, they're gonna know that they're gonna get that guaranteed 2 years of warranty, and just have that peace of mind knowing that they're not gonna have to put in potentially more money or more, you know, a set trip or a second opinion. They're just going to be more confident in that decision that they've made. And they're going to have our back as well when it comes to ensuring that our members are sticking to that code of ethics.
Yeah. I think that was one of the probably more impactful, at least from what I see, programs that came out in the last few years. When did it come out? 4 years ago? 3 years ago?
Anyway, the
recently. Renomark? Yeah.
They've really started. I mean, it was sort of developed back in the, like, around 2010, 2012, 13, somewhere. And then kind of, like, really streamlined and marketed in the last year or two. Yeah.
Yeah. And is it still the case where if you're a certified home builder in Saskatoon, you have to be certified Renomark also?
No, that's, you don't have to be, but I would say a good chunk of our builders will go that road as well.
So I think the biggest impact that program had was the third-party warranty, because there was never any third-party warranty with renovations before that, that I knew of anyway. So to your point about the Wild West is that you could, I always compare it to new housing. Like you go and you build a house and you pay $600,000 for it and it comes with third-party warranty, yada, yada, yada. Or if you compare it to a renovation, you could go and buy a house for $400,000 and easily put $200,000 into it and have no warranty at all. Where it's like the same thing. If you're going to buy a house and put $200,000 into it, a lot of that house is brand new. like the sticks and bricks might not be brand new and the foundation under the ground, but everything else is basically new and you got nothing. Like some shoddy workmanship could happen and you could be living there for 6 months and have water coming through your ceiling and you're too bad. Whereas now with this Renomark program, if people are selecting contractors who are part of that program, they have to be offering that third party warranty and it helps cover some of that kind of stuff. To me, the other thing is both programs, whether it's building or renovating, these programs force builders and renovators to think more like a business than think more like a contractor. Because you want, to me, one of the things that I've always said is you want to make sure that you're working with a builder or a renovator that's going to be around for a long time. Because I can tell you there's scenarios where we have clients that come back to us a few years after a build where kind of we're off the warranty hook in quotation marks. But you still go and help them. You know what I mean? And sometimes that's easier. Like honestly, the fees you have to pay to have somebody from a third party warranty come and actually look at the claim. Cause there's a cost to that. Sometimes it's just like, hey, I'm just going to take care of it. Like, don't worry about having them out just to find out that it's not covered anyway. Like, we'll just deal with it. But if a business isn't around, if they don't think like a business and they don't understand financial statements and cash flow and people management, like people management is huge in construction. It takes like a whole community to build a house or to do a big renovation. So you have to be able to understand and be good at those things. Otherwise, the experience just falls apart at some point in time. So.
Yeah, you just reminded me of another point we just actually missed. So for Renomark and Certified Professional Home Builder, there's that commitment education. So they do have to take educational courses that we offer.
Yeah.
That's mandatory. The third party warranty, mandatory. The adherence to the code of ethics, which is super important. That's all the soft skill communication pieces, and you just treating not only your customers fairly, but your suppliers and your trades and anyone that comes into contact with your business fairly. And that's really important. And then the fourth thing that we missed a little bit is safety. Mm-hmm. And I just want to touch on that because that I think is the number one for me. That's super, super important. Like if a business cares that everyone in their employee gets home at the end of every day, that we don't have accidents, we are definitely taking safety seriously. Protection, you know, it's all about consumer protection, right? At the end of the day, that is 100% what all of this is about. It's bettering the company, but why? For consumer protection. And so safety is the other thing that is super key. And that is a trickle down effect as well. So from the builder or the renovator to their trades, to their suppliers, and everybody's working towards that. The thing that will get added here in the next little while is that, as you mentioned, that sustainability piece. So with that, I just want to say, and if we're almost out of time, sorry, but I just want to say, maybe this is another show for us.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
So on the renovations side,
yep.
It is estimated that the ratio of existing homes to new homes is 100 to 1. So for every new home that's built, there are 100 existing homes that may need to be renovated to a certain environmental sustainability energy efficiency standard within the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does that mean for homeowners? What does that mean? This is going to be a very, very important issue when it comes to, you know, the shows Love It or List It. Do I fix it up or da da da? Well, maybe in a few years, if you're thinking of renovating, you might have to renovate to a different standard. So maybe it makes more sense for you to buy a new home that's already built to that energy standard, yeah. Right? Yeah. So just some really cool things happening in the market right now, really food for thought, and giving consumers the information they need and communicating that they are saying, hey, I love my home. I maybe need to, this isn't a TV show. It's not like, this isn't like Big Brother, right? This is your life. So do I renovate my home? What am I going to need in the future? Or do I build a new home, whether it's spec or custom, and get everything I want? And those are some really tough, critical decisions. And you're absolutely right, Brad. The businesses that are business-minded, customer-focused, and have sustainability, safety, education, and warranty at the forefront of their minds, those are the ones that are going to be successful in this market.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Is there anything else you want to add? We have a minute and 15 seconds on the Zoom call remaining.
Lots of time.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know what? And while we do, can I just put a plug in for our next upcoming event that people might want to check out?
Plug it.
Home Styles Home Show, March 9th through 12th. Maybe this show will even air by then. I don't know. But if you haven't, come to the home show. Get information on residents, building, home products, renewable energy sources, solar panels, etc., insulation, doors and windows, all kind of boring stuff, but that actually is going to be kind of exciting coming up. So Home Styles Home Show, March 9th through 12th at Prairie Lawn Park.
And we'll be there too.
So. And we'll be there. You can come talk to us. We're real people.
Yeah, we exist.
Cool. Well, yeah, you guys just have to talk loud and then people will recognize your voice and then they'll find you.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go.
We're pretty loud. So
yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you guys very much for doing this again. I appreciate it. I apologize again for a couple weeks ago, the blunder, but I do appreciate you guys coming on. It means a lot.
Anytime. Absolutely. It's a pleasure.